turn with me to the book of Romans. We didn't finish up our series on life in the Spirit. So the next 2 weeks, I want to finish up the chapter 8 of the book of Romans. And as you're turning there, I just kind of want to point out something that we read. I read out of Jeremiah. And God told Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Just a comforting or encouraging thought that if God was there with Jeremiah, he'll be there with us as he has called us to ministry. Well, this is the last Sunday of this year. And I guess it's kind of like a opportunity for a fresh start. I mean, there's really no difference between today, which is the 30th, and next Sunday, which is January 6th. It's just, symbolically, it's like a fresh start, a brand new way. You can start your diets next week, right? You can start cleaning out the garage or the closets like you've been planning to. But let me ask you this. Consider the opportunities and the responsibilities and that you had in 2018. Even the commands from God's Word that you had in 2018. How did you do? How did you do with them? Did you keep your resolutions? Did you meet your goals? Did you arrive to where you were satisfied or content with the changes or the things that you improved for 2018? Because then again, I think it would be a loss if we don't take some time to evaluate. You know, I know right now in this moment you think, you know, I can't think of any of them right now, but take today and tomorrow. Think about that. How did you fare? If you had to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 you completed everything, and 1 being you didn't complete anything, where would you mark yourself? Where would you land? You know, a 5, an 8, a 2? And this is between you and God. This is what you and God have to deal here with. Because, again, this is a real important part of who we are. We're to continue to be growing and advancing and maturing and pressing on, as Paul says. How are you? How did you do? If they were to grade you in school, what kind of a grade would you have gotten? If your bonus at work depended on your answer to this, where would you have landed? With a bonus? The big bonus? No bonus? How can you make 2019 a better year? How can we fulfill God's mission, God's purpose, God's calling in our lives in 2019? Let's think back to 2018. What were some of the obstacles that you faced? What were the things that got in your way? Were they things that were out of your control, or were they things that you let slide or you were distracted by? If you saw the movie Up, I find myself a lot of times like the dogs on the movie Up. Squirrel. Just really distracted. Think about those obstacles. Write them down. I would encourage you, write them down. What are those obstacles? Or what was it that slowed you down? What was it that kept you from achieving or pressing on more for God? And then let's see how we can work at them. I want us to look today at God's Word so we can see just some encouragement, some foundational stuff, some building stuff, somewhere we can stand on, that we would move forward, that we wouldn't be like Jeremiah, because God says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." That gave Jeremiah encouragement to go out, because God gave Jeremiah a very, very difficult task. He says, "I want you to go out and preach. They're not going to listen to you, but I want you to preach. They're not going to follow through with what I'm asking you, but don't worry about it. It's not you they're not obeying, it's me. So, but you got to go ahead and preach. You got to go out there and still do your job. You still got to go out and follow through with the calling I've given you. And I don't know about you, sometimes that's difficult. You're moving forward. Nothing more difficult than going on a diet and sacrificing, really sacrificing, and barely seeing the scale move in losing weight. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's difficult. And you try and you try and you try. This is God told Jeremiah, you're going to do it, you're going to preach, I'm going to give you the words, you're going to go out there. The results are mine. Don't worry about the results. You go out there and be faithful. Go out there and be faithful. Well, Romans 8:28. How can I walk with confidence this year? How can I walk with determination? How can I walk with intention? How can I live for a greater good than myself? How can I keep these things in focus when everything around me feels like it's falling apart? When the world seems to be going to hell in a handbag, as they say, how can I still stay faithful? How do I stay the course? You know, the winds come. The breeze comes. I shouldn't share the story with you, but I will. Sarah and I were coming back from a concert, Barry White concert, and I got pulled over, and I had to do a sobriety test on the side of the road, on the side of the freeway. Well, you know, if you ever have to walk that straight line or pick your foot up and do that, and then I can't even do it right now, and I'm definitely sober right now, but I wasn't drunk then. Sarah was leaning on me. We were on my low rider. I had my little steering wheel, so it was a little hard to keep the car straight, you know, and so they pulled me over. They thought I was drunk or thought I was impaired, and But the breeze of the diesels coming by, it really made it difficult to do that, you know? It was really, and sometimes we have to do things for God, but the winds of our environment, of our culture, of evil are blowing on us, and we're trying to stay on this straight course so that we can honor God and we can be found faithful. How do we stand there? With what confidence, with what assurance do we have? And I want us to see three things this morning out of this passage. And the first one is, if we're going to have confidence, it's because of God's great purpose orders everything for your good. Do you realize that? That God's great purpose orders everything for your good? Well, what does that mean? That means I'm never going to have problems. That means I'm never going to struggle. That means everything is going to go my way. That means I'm going to always be healthy, wealthy, and good looking. Well, I'm 0 for 3. I'm not that healthy, but God's great purpose orders everything for your good. Look at verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The first thing we want to see here in this verse, we know. That's a statement of confidence. That's a statement of assurance. I'm standing on a rock on this one. I'm standing on a sure footing. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt. We have this confidence. This is Paul and his disciples that are with and the disciples that are with him. He's saying, we know this for sure. We know this for sure that God, it's God that causes this. God is the mover on this. God is the initiator on this. God brings all of history together to cause all things, not just some things, but all things, to work together for good. That means the good, that means the difficult, that even means the ugly things. That God works these things all together that ultimately end up with our eternal good. Not just our temporary good, because sometimes life isn't always that good. Do you agree with me? But we know that it's God that causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God. Now here he's stipulating. This happens for those who are his children. But it doesn't say that, those who love God. Well, the only ones who love God are his children. They are the only ones who will love God. Why? Because his children are those who have received Christ, those who have surrendered their life to God, those who have submitted and repented. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And where it says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts with the Spirit that was given to us. So every child of God has the ability to love God and to love one another and to love our enemies. We have to work it out. We have to practice it. But in 1 John, it says that we love because he first loved us. So my ability to love God is a reminder that it is God who has given me this love to direct it back to him. So here, friends, if we're going to stand on this promise, it's promise made to his children. Now think about that. That God works all things. What an amazing ability, an awesome power for God to do that. You know, a grandmaster chess player can think 3 to 4 moves ahead while playing at high level competition. Okay, and there's times that they might be able to think as many as 10 moves ahead. Have you ever played chess? I'm just thinking about that move. I have no clue about strategy. I just know where everybody. I know where everybody's supposed to be able to move. You know, the castles go this way and this way. You know, the bishops, they cross. They go diagonal, and the horse does something with 2 then 3, and the king can only move one time. The queen, she has full reign of the board. I don't know why they did that, but think about this. Think about the ability to ordain all things. Now, if you've ever seen any of these movies like Back to the Future or anything about the future, if you just change, or if you go back to the past, you change one thing and everything else just changes completely in the future, well, you know, that's just messy with one thing. Now, that's not real. It's only TV, okay? But can you imagine that God ordains all things and that he puts people into everybody's lives? And that what happened there works here. You know, it's amazing as we talk how well we know each other, right? And how far back some of us go in our connections. This morning I was talking with Irene. And Irene grew up in Commerce, and Irene knows my brother-in-law, Joe. She knows him well, for the right reason, for good things. I was going to introduce her to James, but he's not here. You know, Virginia, again, we knew her from the old neighborhood. You know, all these different little connections and all these little things that, you know, it's not a coincidence these things happen. It's a God incident. You know, God has ordained these things. Oh, man, what a shock, what a surprise. Well, wait a minute. Isn't God in control? Should we really be shocked and surprised when we see these little things falling into place and we see and know and get to meet people and are encouraged and somebody blesses us and somebody prays for us and say, you know, again, all these different things and ways. God has ordained them. God has brought them together. And we can stand on sure ground with the confidence that no matter what happens in my life, if I am walking in obedience and loving God and faithful to him, these things are going to eventually work out completely for my good. Now, sometimes we want that good to be here and now, right? We want that good to come out in a form of a paycheck or a car or a house or a relationship or health or whatever. And God does do that because the Bible tells us that God reigns, it rains on the just and the unjust. God shows his grace, his common grace to all of us. But ultimately, as children of God, we are not just here for the temporary. We're waiting for that eventual day when we will be in heaven. And everything works together to get us to that place where when we die, when we transfer out of this earth, we will be in heaven with him. Excited about that? Doesn't sound like it. Any amens? But you know, this isn't just a New Testament promise. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. It's the 5th book of the Bible. And I didn't mark it in the pew Bibles. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Now, if you know a little bit about the history of Israel, Israel had been in captivity in Egypt for quite a few years. And finally, they got released from it because God brought some plagues and they were released and they were leaving the promised land. And then all of a sudden Pharaoh says, no, I want them back. We need that labor, the slave labor. We need it. He chased them. God miraculously opened the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea. God closed it on Pharaoh and his people. Israel was able to cross. When it came to get into the promised land, they lacked faith to believe that God was going to help them defeat the big people, the giants that were there. Now, I had to scratch my head on this one. God just miraculously opened the Red Sea at flood season. Israel walked, 1 million-plus people walked on dry land. And when Egypt and Pharaoh and all them were coming after them, God closed the waters after the last Israelite crossed. Now, if God can do that miracle, can't he do something about the big people in the land that he had promised? Now, how bad our short-term memory is, isn't it? When it comes to God's promises and God's faithfulness and God's provision, how God will work everything together for good. Because now, when they go to the promised land, they refuse to enter. They are disobedient. God says, go in. They sent 10 spies. They sent spies, and two of them said, we can do it, and the rest of them said, no, we can't. The Israelites disobeyed God. They believed the naysayers. They believed those who were fearful. And so God sent them in the wilderness. But notice what he says here in chapter 8, verse 15. Moses writes, he led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna with which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Friends, that's almost like our life, isn't it? We don't have fiery serpents here in the city. We may be short on cash for food from week to week. But the reality is that God is sustaining us in this journey. Even in their disobedience, God was still faithful to them. And that they would wander for 40 years before they would actually enter into the promised land, with which was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. It was said that one cluster of grapes was put on a pole, and two men had to carry that one cluster of grapes. Now that's a mighty big cluster of grapes. But God was faithful to Israel, and we see it him faithful there. Will God be faithful to us? If God's word says that he will work everything together for good for those who love God, don't you think he's going to keep that promise? Don't you think we can walk into 2019 with that confidence and assurance that I will be faithful to you, God, because I know you will be faithful to me. I know you will carry out your promises. And I know even when you have to discipline me, you will be faithful in that. When you recorrect or course correction, or what is it called when you're on GPS? Recalculating. Because there's a lot of times we have to recalculate, right? Because we've gotten off. We want to go our own way. Friends, God has called us. God has saved us. But he says at the end of verse 28, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that's a key factor that we forget a lot of times. We want to do our thing. We want to do it our way. But we're here for his purpose. You know, one of the blessings of our country is that we have an abundance of a lot of stuff. We even have a 40-hour work week. We get, benefits. We have different things going on. We have different ways of work styles here in this country. We have so much, as far as entertainment, so much for sports, all these things. But all these things end up becoming a distraction from God's purpose. And God's purpose is that we would proclaim his name and that we would bring people to him, that he would take them to heaven. Because this isn't our world. You know, you've seen that not of this world posters. This isn't our world. We're only sojourners, as the Bible calls us. We're only a here temporary guests, because our eternal home is with him. That's our forever home, is with him. And we get caught up in all the distractions, all the minutiae of the day. You know, again, I'm guilty of it too, so you know, we're all in the same boat here. How much of our time and focus? And when somebody is, when we come across somebody who is focused on those things, we call them a fanatic. Oh, they just get carried away. Oh, you know, we start judging them, you know, when we should be looking at ourselves and saying, why am I not more on track for God's glory and God's honor? Because he has called us according to his purpose. What is God's purpose for you? How has God gifted you? How has God enabled you? What is God requesting of you? What does your faithfulness look like in God's book? What does God have down there? Where are you at? John Piper writes, I rejoice in the sovereignty of God because he wields it in all things to preserve himself as my greatest treasure. Friends, is God your greatest treasure? Do we get more excited about God than winning that? What is the lottery up to? It was getting close to $500 million? Something like that. A lot of money. But friends, isn't God greater than that money? Because God is eternal. That money comes and goes. If you had a chance to talk to all the people who won the big lotteries and how broke they are today, God is my eternal treasure. And he's called us. And he works everything together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Friends, with that in mind, I could stop there, but I'm not. I could stop there. And we should have plenty of confidence to go forward and blaze new trails for 2019. But he has something else to tell us in verse 29. Not only has God's great purpose orders everything for your good, but that God has graciously chosen to mold and shape you to be like his son. He has graciously chosen to mold and shape you to be like his son. Look at verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. This is salvation's purpose. God has saved us to conform us to the image of his son. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. And this is the work that God is doing, and he's calling us to become like his son. To walk like a son, to act like a son, to serve like a son, to teach like a son. We won't be like him in the sense of that we're God, but in the moral attributes, God, he's calling us, he's shaping us, he's molding us. He's saying, look, I am the potter, you're the clay. Let's get with this. Paul tells the Philippians, he who will transform the body of our humblest state into conformity with the body of his glory. He's molding us. And sometimes when he shapes us, it hurts a little, doesn't it? When he lets us trip and stumble a few times, it hurts a little because we went out on our own thing, doing our own ways and acting a fool. And yet God allows it, and when we fall, he's there to help us. Okay, you learn your lesson? Get on up. Let me mold you and shape you here. Let me massage this area to get you into conformity. To get you into this mold that I have for you, to shape you, to present you the image of his son, Jesus Christ. If you read the Gospels, what kind of a man was Jesus Christ? What kind of a representation of God was Jesus Christ? He always said the truth. He said it with grace and love. He confronted wickedness. He confronted evil. He was compassionate to those who were hurting. The Bible tells us in Mark 10:45 that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. How many of us are ready to jump up and serve? How many of us are ready to get up and help? How many of us are ready to invest in somebody's life? How many of us are willing and ready to mentor somebody with the gospel, for the gospel's sake? Mom, Dad, I hope you are. I hope you're doing it. We have the wonderful promise of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Do we reflect Christ? Do people see and notice something different about you? Do they say, there's something different with that person? You know, I can't put my finger on it yet. And then they realize, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you go to church. Oh, you read your Bible. Oh, you're not like those other Christians. You're different. Do people talk to you? Do people mention that to you? Are we representing Christ well? Are we stepping up and saying, I'm walking to a different beat? I'm tone deaf and I don't have very good rhythm. So I never march to anybody's beat. I march to my own beat. That's just the way it is with music with me. But think about this in a spiritual sense. Are we marching to the rhythm of the world, to the beat of the world? Are we marching to His beat, to His rhythm, to His music? Because He's put a new song in our hearts. My kids and my family always laugh at me when I'm trying to, you know, to dance or to dance with rhythm or to move with rhythm or to move to the beat of the music. It just ain't there. And they're laughing right now. Because I have none. But it's so obvious to them, and the world, it should be obvious to us that we're not following the music of the world. We're following His music, His beat, His rhythm, His desires, His ways, His love, His truth, His grace. The third thing I want to point out here, that God's glorious provision will take you into eternity with Him. God's glorious provision. He gives us His purpose so that we can step in confidence to know this is the will of God. This is what God wants for me to do. And God will be there to strengthen me, to sustain me, and to keep me on the straight and narrow path. But that He also will mold and shape me so that I can get stay in step with Him. And the third one is that His provisions are sufficient that we will enter into heaven with Him. Let's start back with me at verse 29. He says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. Now come down to verse 30. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. This is the progress of salvation. These are unbreakable links to God's chain of salvation. He says that He foreknew. He foreordained. Some believe that, because God knew I was eventually going to believe, He saved me. No. That's not it. That's not what foreknowledge is. Foreknowledge is because He's ordained it. He's put the plan into place that He knew these things were going to be true. So He knew these things were going to be true. He says that he predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He set it in motion so that His children would be like His Son, Christ. That there would be a family resemblance. Just like I told you about my friend. His son was in jail for 20 years. And yet, 20 years later, he walks like his dad. He has mannerisms like his dad. He talks like his dad. And he was separated from his dad for 20 years. How does that happen? There's an innate part of who we are. You know, some of you, and I know some of you don't like, oh man, you look like your dad, oh thanks. Oh man, you sound like your dad, oh thanks. Or your mom, or... But there's a natural inclination. You know, people have seen me on the street. You're a Garcia, aren't you? I said, well, yeah, that's my mom's family. Yeah, you're a Garcia, I can tell, that big forehead. That was a giveaway. But He predestined us, and whom He predestined, He called. He says, you will be mine. I called you. I invited you in. I brought you in. You're mine. I've chosen you. My hand is upon you. Come to me. I've called you. He foreknew, He predestined, and He called. But you know what He has also done? He's justified. And justified is just if I'd never sinned. He calls us, He declares us not guilty. And yet I'm guilty of a lot of sins, and as well as you. But because of Christ, I have been set free. He has paid all the penalty, all the judgment that was due, all the wrath of God for sin was put on Christ at the cross. So now I am justified. And when the Father sees me, he sees me in Christ, pure and holy. I'm still working on my sanctification here. I'm still working it out. But in God's eyes, I am perfect and holy. So if I die tonight, the only place I'm going to is his presence, because the Father sees me in Christ, forgiven. Isn't that awesome? It's not what I do, it's what's been done for me that gains me access into heaven. Now, there's rewards. We'll be rewarded in heaven for the things we've done, but the things that we do are not to get us into heaven. It's once we're in heaven, he will reward us. But friends, look at this last one. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. And we now have the glory of God upon us. And we are now seen with the glory that God has. He's glorified us. Now, stop and think about these five words. Think, what tense are they in? English tense. Future tense? Present tense? Past tense? Here's a clue. When ED is at the end of the word, it's past tense. Okay? These are past tense. Now, in interpreting the Bible, it's really important that we get the tense of the verbs right. Okay. Now, this is signifying that these things are already ours, that God already predestined us, that God has already called us, that God has already justified us, that God has already glorified us. So these are our possessions. These are part of who we are today. They won't be fully recognized or fully realized. The area of glorification won't be fully realized until we get to heaven. But they're ours now. Do you realize what that means? There's nothing that can happen that can go wrong to keep me out of heaven. Why? Because God has already provided everything I need to get into heaven. So that whatever I need to do, I need to bring him glory. I need to preach his name. I need to bring others to this realization that they can possess everything that God wants to offer them. He's not saying, I will call you. I might call you. He's like, I did call you. I justified you. I glorified you. And so as we go about God's business on earth, we can walk with the assurance and the confidence that no matter how difficult the path looks, it's going to work out eventually for my good. And in this process that God is working, he's molding and shaping me so that as I face the difficulties, as I face the struggles, as I face the victories, as I face the opportunities, that these things are going to work out. Because I'm going to end up being more like Christ through the struggles of this journey. And that I can walk with the assurance and the knowledge he's glorified me. What more do we need? What more should we want? We have everything to be successful, to be prosperous in the work of God. 19. That we can't, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to put the past to the past. Because we are about making much about his name. We're here to make much about his name. A.W. Tozer writes, as many Christians are satisfied with their destination, but they neglect the journey. Friends, this is an important part of our arriving, the journey, because we have seen God's faithfulness. Now think about that again. All things, he works all things together. You have a pretty big God, right? To be able to do all those things. Some of you are good at multitasking, right? But you can really only successfully multitask, what, 3, 4, 5 things at best? Who's a good multitasker? Mom's okay. You know, what really amazes me is these before they were writing them on the cups, these baristas at Starbucks, you know, this amount of sugar, this amount of heat, this amount of cream, this amount of that, this amount of this. I could never have been a barista at Starbucks. As it was hard being a short order cook at the burger stand in the corner. But and God has everything in place. Yet and if we're honest with ourselves, we do struggle with the why question. Why God? Why me? Why now? Why that way? Why that person? We have a lot of whys when things just don't go the way we want them. But again, we're called according to who? I don't understand it. I may not see why. And I'll be honest, we may never know why. But there's times where you look back, say, I'm glad that happened. I'll give you a for instance. I hated it when I went to graveyard. I really hated it. I disliked it really bad. I wanted to stay on swing shift. But you know what? It worked out. If I was on swing shift, I wouldn't see the kids after school because I'd be at work. And by the time I got home, I wouldn't have seen them. Wouldn't have seen them at all. So putting me on graveyard and being able to get to their football games, their volleyball games, and whatever other things they had after school. And so in the big picture, I said, okay, no, I'm glad I went to graveyard. Because I couldn't get to Days. Days was for the senior people. But then when I first got hired, man, I hated working the weekends. You know, all my friends were out partying, but you know what? As I got saved, it was really when I got saved that I realized, you know, God, you did that for my best because you kept me away from my friends. My friends would have kept me away from my wife and my daughter and son. I'm glad that I worked weekends. As boring, as hard, as slow as some of those nights were, Lord, it worked out for the betterment. It kept me away from ridiculous, foolish things that would have happened out there. But you worked it together for good, no matter what. Friends, think about this. Think about your 2019. Think about some of the things you already know you're going to have to face. It may be some health issues that you're facing. Maybe some of your family members. Maybe it's in the area of relationships. But we can trust God that ultimately things are going to work out for good. To those who love God and are called according to His purpose. 2 Peter says this, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, which things? The first nine verses of 2 Peter chapter 1, you will never stumble. As solid and important as the foundation is, God has given us a calling. God has given us a ministry. God has given us something He wants us to accomplish here on this earth while we're here. Let's think about that. What were some of the obstacles that kept you from accomplishing your goals in 2018? You could just shout them out. What was that? Okay, yourself. Work. Procrastination, food, laziness, fear, maybe a failure to set some goals or point yourself in the right direction. Now think about this, that if God has called us according to His purpose, He's going to equip us to fulfill His purpose. And in order to know His purpose, we need to dig into the Word, right? And if we are set in motion to do His purpose, we know that along the way, things are going to come into our lives that are going to mold and shape us. And those can be painful, uncomfortable at times. Whenever you've broke a bone or something. Desiree fractured her collarbone when she was a little girl, and they had to put this brace on her that had to keep her shoulders back to keep her collarbone in place. You know, that had to have been uncomfortable, you know, when she either broke fractured his elbow. It was getting in the way of him eating a hamburger. And when he did that, it cracked. But see, sometimes it gets in the way of us fulfilling things. But God molds and shapes us for specific reasons. And he allows certain things in our life to conform us, that we would look more and more like his son. But then we have the security that no matter what falls our way, we will be with him forever. Friends, so measure up the obstacles that you faced in 2018. And how do those fall into place with the things we talked about this morning? Some of those we can just wipe away. Some of those we can overcome and we can work through or with. In order for us, at the end of 2019, God would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But you will be found faithful. Because your faithfulness impacts those who need Christ. For those who are struggling in the journey, your faithfulness speaks volumes to them. May you press on to be faithful this year. Father, this morning, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Father, help us through the tough times and the difficult times. But Lord, we need help even in the good times where we have a tendency to forget you or to lean less on you. Father, we just pray, Lord, for those who don't know you as Savior, that Father, that they would recognize that you are a holy God and that they are sinners. And that the solution, the provision for that is Christ. Father, just guide them, Father, this morning to draw upon you for wisdom and strength. For that we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you in 2019.